This is March 4th, 1987, the regularly scheduled meeting of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee.
Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee will come to order. We have a very full agenda this afternoon. I want to start with a work session on House Bill 2472, which relates to the Columbia River Gorge, by Ann Perry. You have some amendments?
That's right. We have two sets of amendments. One small amendment which deals with the auditing officer of the state. Which the language you had last at the last hearing by this committee, for the record, I'm Diane Perry, representing the governor's office.
Thank you.
The second set of amendments were offered to us and to the state of Washington by the Forest Service. And what they do is make explicit the powers of the commission. And that language needs to be included in the compact language. We have reviewed the language, so has the state of Washington. These powers, originally the compact adopts by reference the federal statute. And the suggestion was made just on a technical basis to be sure that it's very clear what the commission's powers are, that we spell them out explicitly. Gail Achterman and I talked with Dave McCraney, who is in Booth Gardner's office in the state of Washington last night. They are happy with the amendments. We're happy with them. The AG's office has reviewed them, as has legislative counsel, and we'd like to ask that you include those, too.
Okay, this is Legislative Council HB 2472A-5.
That's right. That's correct.
Now, where is the other amendment? We didn't talk about that amendment in a minute, but the other amendment was the auditing powers amendment?
Right. The suggestion was made to us that rather than have a private CPA or...
To have the Secretary of State
review. In the state of Washington, it's not the Secretary of State, it's the state auditor.
Right.
And so the language we came up with between the two states was the appropriate auditing officer.
Okay, and that goes in the compact on, let's see, you see it in the, we've got a Hannon Gross bill here. Page 3 of the Hannon Gross bill.
It would be page 3, line 14.
There it is. Okay, line 14.
You would delete a certified or licensed public accountant and insert the appropriate state auditing official.
Right, okay. So that amendment is contained in 2472A-4, Legislative Council A-4.
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's... Okay, on this... On the First Amendment relating to the powers of the commission? this relates to the powers of the commission, right?
That's correct.
Let me be real clear. I have absolutely no problem with the language. It's my understanding that the House had they had some difficulties about dealing with land use and were basically hoping that we weren't going to send back a proposal to them that included the land use stuff.
Right. It is our interpretation that we are not including land use stuff, that what we've done in the where we established the Columbia Gorge Commission and adopt by reference the National Act, lines 17 and 18 on page 1, we
right.
say the provisions of this compact under the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act, which is incorporated by this specific reference. All we are doing is making explicit what is included in that act. And it's my understanding that is a technical legal amendment, that it's appropriate that you spell out the powers of a commission. When we incorporate by reference that, you know, we are doing the same thing that we're doing by adding these amendments. All we're doing is making it explicit.
Okay.
And that from a good lawyering standpoint, and I'm not a lawyer, that this is the proper thing to do. That it's a good thing to do is to go ahead and spell out what those powers are. And if you look at the amendments, it refers to each section of the federal act where that power is conferred, okay, except for the power to sue and be sued.
Okay, right. Public Law 96.
Right. We refer to 7B3B. That is the power that is conferred in 7B3B, likewise in 7C and in 10C.
Okay.
So we're not doing anything different than the Federal Act. We have already adopted the Federal Act by reference. All we're doing is making it explicit in the compact.
I have no problem with this. Personally, have you discussed this with the chair of the House committee or run these amendments by Representative C?
Yes, and he has had a concern about it. He's concerned that somehow it will be perceived that we're doing something different. The lawyers all tell us that this is technical.
Okay.
That it's a technical thing.
So when we get to a concurrence vote on the floor of the House, the argument can be made quite correctly that, in fact, this is nothing more than a reflection of what the federal law already did.
Right. We have adopted that by reference.
Senator Cohen.
Well, I suppose that if we didn't do this, the federal law would be rendered ineffective, frankly, because there is a question that the federal government does not have the power to zone.
That's right.
So in effect, if we didn't adopt these, you would render the intention of the Federal Act possibly ineffective because they couldn't zone unless we explicitly gave them the power to zone within a county. You really have rendered that federal act ineffective in certain portions.
Right.
And I think that we need to make sure we understand that when we enter into a compact, we are giving up some of those local counties' powers to independently go ahead and enact land use.
It's somewhere
in our area.
I might speak for the counties, I don't think they feel very independent today.
Yeah.
I don't think they feel that they're independent land use authorities today. They have to go through state standards. So I don't think that's.
But essentially, that's what we're doing.
It is somewhat convoluted in that the belief is we've already done this by adopting the federal statute by reference. And that the only reason to do this is if there is ever a constitutional challenge that we have agreed as two states that we understand the powers that we're conferring. We were also advised it was not necessary that we do this. This is, again, it's a cleanup type thing where we're making it explicit so everyone understands. If we don't do it, things will still go forward. We've adopted the Federal Act by reference, and it includes these powers to the commission. That whole thing may go to a constitutional challenge. I mean, it's unknown at this point in time. So.
Okay.
I don't have any problem with doing it. I just want to make, for the record, understand that we knew what we're doing here in this committee, and we didn't sort of mislead the public somehow to say that we're not granting these powers.
Good. Okay. What's the committee's pleasure on the...
I move adoption of the amendments, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen moves adoption of amendments contained in LC 2472-5 and 2472-4. Is there any further discussion on the amendments? Is there any objection to the adoption of the amendments? Hearing none, so ordered. I think the bill, as it's amended now, is in shape, right? Washington's bill is going to look like, and
that's correct. We are going to telecopy this bill as finally amended, hand engrossed, to Washington tomorrow.
Beautiful.
So that we're copacetic. But our understanding last night is they are going to adopt the same set of amendments.
Okay.
And both of the amendments you just adopted.
What's the committee's pleasure, Senator Cohen?
I'd move House Bill 2472 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cohen moves House Bill 2472 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Brenneman.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Kintai.
Aye.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye. Motion's adopted. I'll carry the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kent.
May I enter a vote explanation?
Certainly. Please.
I have voted for this because it seems we have no choice but to vote for it, but I still am opposed to the concept of a national area.
National Scenic Area
Yes.
proposal?
Aye. But I realize we that bridge has been crossed. And
well, the Congress has crossed that bridge,
yes.
That's for sure. Okay. Next on the agenda, I want to take up introduction of committee bills. I think all of you got copies of all these bills.
Yes.
LC 2796, which is part of a package of bills that relates to a potential source of funding for all of our toxic waste management programs. 2796 is a bill that is this bill, I'm pretty sure, has to be introduced in the House.
2938, the tax?
No, the 2796. Yes. Okay.
We didn't even have
check that,
that
one, Peter. I've got 1921, which relates to scenic waterways designation on Opal Lake and Opal Creek. 1921-1, and the other one was 1921-2, which relates to the Brighton Bush River, designating it as a scenic waterway. A bill relating to slash burning, 1575. Has to do with seeing how residential areas are affected, or trying to protect residential areas from slash burning. 2938, which is the Arlington fee increase, which increases the Arlington fee and creates a toxics management account, which would potentially be used for the source of funding for all of the toxic programs if some funding source was developed. And LC 3174, which requires a statewide smoke management plan for slash burning. And LC 1820, which requires a 50-mile radius, evacuation radius for nuclear accidents rather than the current 10-mile radius. And LC 3140, which is a memorial relating to exports of timber. And LC 1581, which is the Appliance Energy Efficiency Standards Bill, which hopefully we won't have to deal with this session because Congress is passing it right now. And then there's LC 3029, which is a bill at the request of the Oregon Beer and Wine Distributors that would allow them to go together to recollect empty beverage containers. All these bills.
And then how to act on all these?
That's the issue. 2795, which is a joint resolution that relates to the possible funding mechanism for the toxics account.
Mr. Chairman, are these all request bills or...
Some of the request bills, some of them are bills that people have brought to me or I have brought to the committee for introduction. They're not all requested. It is indicated.
What's the origin of the Opal Creek bill, for example?
Opal Creek.
Somehow these didn't get to me.
That was at my request, after conversations with George Atiyah and Chuck Bennett. But I just conversed with them about it. They didn't come to me with a bill draft, so it's officially not at their request.
Put to bed the last time.
So,
regarding 1581, the appliance
criteria.
Yeah. 1581 is pretty well on court.
Right, they have
on that issue. So, do you think there's still a need to introduce a state measure?
Well, they have passed the bill, but if the president is true to form, he will veto the bill again. because he vetoed it once last fall.
But they have the votes, do they not?
They don't have, as I understand it, the bill passed without enough votes to override the veto. So I am hopeful that we won't have to deal with it, but I think it's an important enough issue that we have it available to us if, in fact, the Congress doesn't.
Who requested the Brighton Bush Scenic Waterway?
Well, I think that was the same people. I mean, it wasn't that, I mean, it was in a discussion with me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make sure, though. Which LC was that?
1921-1.
Okay.
Being in my district, I'm interested.
Well, it's called, actually, it is at the request of someone. It's at the request of the Central Cascade Conservation Council.
Okay.
Both the Brighton Bush bill and the Opal Creek, Opal Lake bill are at the request of that council.
Okay.
Senator Cohen, do you want
to? Oh, I'll move it. I'll move that we introduce the bills as committee bills with the understanding that there's no explicit advocacy or commitment to say that we intend to vote for them under those three candidates, because we haven't had a chance to look at them. I think there are individual people who may or may not wish to vote for them, so I would move to adopt them on that basis for introduction so that they can.
Thank you for putting it that way.
Senator Cohen has moved that the committee introduce these bills, the aforementioned LC drafts that I went through. And I would just state once again that voting to introduction is generally considered a courtesy in the Senate and not a position for or against an individual measure. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll Senator vote for it. But I guess I share some of the lack of enthusiasm for increasing our workload. I've got some bills around that I've co-sponsored. I hope will be given some attention in front of this committee later. And if we're in fact going to try and get out of here in June, I think we should at some time start cutting off how many bills we're going to be seeing before us.
Well, let me be very clear. We are right at the deadline right now. Basically, we can't introduce bills after, what, Friday?
Well, I've not voted against the introduction of any of these, although I've certainly had my own priorities, and some of these included are not.
Right, understood. Yeah, and this gets kind of wacky to be introducing this many bills at this point. Like I say, it's kind of the drafting deadlines and how the whole thing works. We get these bills back from council, and here we go. Is there any further discussion on the motion to introduce these bills as committee bills? Is there any objection to the introduction of these bills as committee bills? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay. We do want to have an explanation and a public hearing on Senate Bill 11, but since Senator Cairns was the chairman of the subcommittee, we're going to have to wait for his arrival to do that. So we're going to move to Senate Bill 116. And I apologize to those who signed up for Senate Bill 11. We'll just have to wait a minute. Okay, Senate Bill 116. Peter, can you remind us what we're dealing with 116? Oh, is this in everybody's file?
Yes. Well, it should be on top of it.
Okay. A little memo from Peter should be on top of your pile that talks about proposed amendments to DEQ bills. And it does include 116, 122, and 123.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly on Senate Bill 116, this is a response to the federal 1984 Hazardous and Solid Waste Amendments to the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. And the state of Oregon is currently authorized to manage the program, and if the state is to continue to manage the program rather than the Environmental Protection Agency, certain modifications must be made in state law. Briefly, what this bill does, creates the authority to ban certain waste from land disposal, gives DEQ the authority to require corrective action at a treatment, storage, or disposal facility for spills, gives DEQ the authority to require hazardous waste reduction and minimization, gives DEQ the ability to restrict non-hazardous liquid waste from land disposal, and finally, the authorizes DEQ to require an owner or operator of a site where there has been a spill or release of hazardous waste to require testing and analysis for extent of contamination or to show adequate cleanup. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, my recollection was this is the what we call the HISWA bill. Basically to bring state law into compliance with federal law so that we can continue to assume the hazardous waste program. Okay. Gary McCauley. Gary, let me remind you, we are in work session, not public hearing. So if you have some amendments, as I understand it, please present the amendments.
And no commentary on the amendment?
Well, we'll ask you some questions about the amendments, but we're not in the public hearing mode where we just listen to people for...
I have lots to say.
I know you do. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members,
what we have before?
Basically, there needs to be some kind of regulation regarding to road oil in Senate Bill 116. I believe Mr. Jim Dorngoyer of Harbor Oil has presented some type of language which would cover this issue. I happened to be here Wednesday when you were discussing underground tanks. There's certain liabilities with underground tanks leaking, but there's no law regarding road oiling or someone pumping that tank out, spreading it on the ground above the tank. That's perfectly legal, at least at this point in time. The EPA has not regulated this. Chances are they will not. Several reasons. One, as you can guess, they have thousands of solid and liquid waste they must manage. Secondly, states are taking it upon themselves to regulate road oil. And as the states continue to take it upon themselves, the EPA has no means or desire to take on this issue. There will always be other ways of recycling used oil. It's too much competition for people who are processing to compete with road oilers. There's trucking costs, processing costs, lab tests, product liability, whereas road oilers who can pay a higher price for picking up the oil because they're not processing, they're not getting lab tests, and they essentially have no liability because if there ever was a dioxin spill or a PCB spill, they'd be long gone. They're not going to sit around and accept some fine from the DEQ. Lastly, there are road oilers out there, I'm not one, but there are people who are selling a biodegradable, environmentally clean product, and they're being harmed by people who are picking up possibly dioxins, PCBs in an oil, and spreading it on the ground at a very obviously cheap cost. Generators love to get rid of it, and the road oilers are more than willing to take it and for a fee spread it on the ground. For all these points, I suggest we accept the language as introduced by Mr. Jim Dornbrier for the underground tanks issue, because EPA may not regulate it, because the recycled oil will always find a home, because the competition is too stiff when you're sitting there trying to do it the way the EPA and the DEQ wants you to do it, and there are road oilers out there who are not. Thank you.
Now, this issue of used oil, is it specifically, I understand you want to make an amendment, but is it specifically raised in 116, or is it just an additional amendment you want added to 116?
It's an additional amendment we want added to SB 116.
And there would be no particular reason why this issue couldn't be dealt with in some other bill relating to the same kind of subject.
I would pass that question on to someone else, perhaps a DEQ like Mr. Peter Spindola, who may better be able to answer that question.
Okay, but I will ask DEQ because I think the issue is: we don't have to deal with road oil to be able to assume the hazardous waste management program. I'm getting a lot of head shaking that's saying I'm right. So I think you have raised a very important issue. Please don't misunderstand me. I want to try to keep this bill as one that basically does what we need to do to get ourselves in position to keep assuming the federal program rather than making new inroads on.
I would give the floor to Mr. Peter Spindola to answer those kind of questions.
Okay. Let's see. Well, Jim Dornberger.
Dwyer.
don't know if I said your name right, but why don't you come forward? Thanks for coming. I mean, I think you brought an important issue before us.
As I stated in my letter, I can only support what Mr. McCulley said. We would like to see consideration of these amendments added to this bill, particularly as it relates to using waste oil as a dust oil. To give you a little scenario on how this might work, for example, if my truck is hauling a load of waste oil from Salem and to Portland, and on the way to Portland it, the tank springs a leak, for example, and we spill 300 or 400 gallons on the side of the road, that is a reportable quantity of oil that has to be, we'll have to get the spill prevention people out there and the cleanup people. We have to notify the DEQ, the television will probably be there, the radio will be there, everybody in the world will probably be there, but by the same token, I can take this same material and put it in one of our spreader trucks and put it on any county or state road in the state of Oregon without any testing, certification, or anything else. And that certainly presents more of an environmental impact, I think, with serious consequences than the waste oil rules as they relate to the burning regulations right now. So I feel very strongly that these amendments should be considered and hope that they are.
Senator Cullen?
Well, I guess I think there have been problems with people spreading on toxic contaminated oils on the roads too, is that?
Yes, it definitely has, yes. But they are still free to do this with, like I say, with no testing or certification that the oil is free of any toxins or contaminants.
Can I ask you a question? These amendments that are used oil amendments to 116, did you forward these or have you done
yes,
so?
Yes,
these come from you?
Yes.
Okay, so I need to write your name on them this morning.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Senator Kenton.
Of these types of oil that you have listed here, do you consider all these hazardous? For example, we use crankcase oil. Do you consider that hazardous?
No,
or?
I don't consider those oils hazardous, but the problem, I think, lies in the fact that waste oil has typically been a dumping ground for any type of...
They're mixed together,
chemicals,
is what you're saying?
Toxins, and
they're all dumped together?
Yes, it's just a darn good way to get rid of it, and people frequently do that.
Mm-hmm.
And without the proper testing of that material, you don't know what's in it when you pick it up, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's PCBs, dioxins, as we all know what happened at Pine Beach, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The oils in themselves typically are not, but like I say, it's the, I feel it's the contaminants that the generators of waste oil dump in there as a simple and easy way to get rid of it.
So actually most of these oils here in themselves, if you're sure you just had this, why, it probably wouldn't be all that bad, huh?
Right, you could have a comfort level with that, but unfortunately
mm-hmm.
without the proper testing and certification, you can't be sure of that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Brennerman.
Included in your amendment here, it says including prohibiting the use of used oil by businesses for dust suppression. Is it your intention just to prohibit the use of crankcase oils for dust suppression?
Yes, it would be.
Suppression?
Yes.
Even if it's non-contaminated?
Well, you can only know if it's non-contaminated. At the very least, if you choose not to prohibit it, it definitely should require testing and certification that the product doesn't have various contaminants that could cause an environmental problem.
I can answer that question.
Mr. McCulley, why don't you come forward, please?
Identify yourself for the record again.
Mr. McCulley, Gary McCulley of SunWest Oil. I think you can't have it both ways. You can't say an underground tank is leaking or a gasoline tanker going down the road leaks, and that is somehow an environmental catastrophe. And on the other hand, have petroleum products being picked up and spread on the dust on the ground, and that's okay.
Yes.
You can't have it both ways. It's A or B. Either you throw out the underground tank issue altogether and say it's okay to pick up oil and spread it on the ground, or B, petroleum in the ground causes some kind of environmental impact, particularly in our waterways. Period. Thank you.
I guess when I change my crankcase, I can't put it on my driveway anymore, huh?
Well, any further questions? Thank you very much.
I do think you've raised an important issue. I'm not sure that we're going to want to amend it into this bill, but I don't think that means we don't want to deal with the issue.
I mean, hopefully assure both witnesses that there are undoubtedly other vehicles that we can
amend it into.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Dan Spencer?
Don Smith, I think they've covered it adequately.
Okay. You were here for the same reason.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we will make sure, actually, I'll try to get my staff to get your names. We got your names, we need your addresses. So we can be in touch with you when we get back to this.
I have some literature that you may have gotten regarding SB bill that was adopted in California.
Yes, we did that.
SB number 86, I think it is, which will tell you the A through Z, and that's what other states are doing. That's why the EPA is not terribly getting involved with the whole issue.
Okay. Don Hagenson from Chem Securities. Good afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon, members of the committee. Don Hagenson.